This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Polykill podcast.
It's a brand new year.
Brand new year. This is the more like our end of the year reflection edish.
Yeah.
Of the podcast. A lot of superlatives.
Correct.
A little bit longer of an episode.
Yeah. Buckle down.
Buckle down.
But you probably already know that.
Yeah.
That's a longer episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to guess it's going to be an hour and 38 minutes. We're just starting. I'm going to guess an hour and 38 minutes.
Fair enough. We'll see.
We'll see.
And it's not that if you paid attention to the rest of the episode, this isn't going to be a rehash of everything. This is going to be some new ideas about a lot of the things that we did in 2016. But thanks again for joining us. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Travis, the retro game enthusiast and super anal gaming nerd,
yeah,
I guess.
Collector guy.
Collector guy. I really track my gaming habits. Like for a guy to have a messy desk like I do,
right?
It's odd that I would keep my gaming life so organized, but I do.
Priorities,
man. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames.
And I am Jake, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the McAxel. That's TheMcAxel. And I play a little bit of everything, a little bit of mishmash. Mostly play newer stuff.
Mishy mash.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little more experimental, I think.
Yeah, it's true.
In general,
with your body.
Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, so thanks again for making us a part of your new year. If you have a friend whose New Year's resolution is to listen to more podcasts, send them this way.
Yeah.
We're up for it.
Yeah, chill us on out.
Well, let's kick it right off because we've got a lot to get to today.
We do. We have a lot to get to.
And because there's no games actually coming out no games that we care about that are coming out.
Absolutely nothing, to be honest.
Later half of December, early January. We're going to do a little talk about some recent pickups, some games that we got maybe for Christmas, or maybe we picked them up and we're interested in giving them a go.
Right.
Maybe they're not in the backlog just yet. Maybe they are. But recent pickup for me for Christmas, I got a pack that came with Twilight Princess HD for Wii U and the Wolf Link Amiibo.
Oh.
That was a little Christmas gift my wife got me.
Very nice.
Which is very good because I'm into I collect the Amiibos a little bit and I love everything Zelda, so that was good.
Absolutely.
And the other one, before I let you take off on your long list, is a game I've been looking for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been all over eBay for weeks. I got screwed once. They sent me the wrong game.
I remember this.
Lost money. Had to talk to PayPal and eBay and do a whole thing. Damn near got a lawyer over it. But I finally got it. It's a game I've been wanting for a long time. Demon's Crest for the Super Nintendo.
Awesome.
It's a ton of fun.
It's very pretty.
It's very pretty. Very dark. Very, very, I don't know, kind of demon-y.
Dismal.
Yeah. It's cool, though. I really do enjoy it. So those are the two games I've picked up and looking forward to playing soon.
Very nice. Very nice.
What about you, man?
I picked up a few. There were a few digital sales, on the storefronts. So I picked up a few on sale. Darkest Dungeon. This is a game that basically came out a year ago. It was an early access for a long time, released full release on PC early in January of 2016, and then finally made its way to consoles in September or October, somewhere. It's an interesting, Lovecraftian horror. Side-scrolling, very beautiful, woodcut style art. It's a lot of party management, sanity management, as well as doing dungeon crawling.
Sanity management. Now it's clicking. You've talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to playing that one. It's also one that I'm not just going to be able to sit down and be like, I'm going to play a game for a minute. Let me just hop into this because it's not super busy, but it's just heavy.
Right.
It's very dark and brooding and music is ominous and everything's red and black, so it's very in your face. But really looking forward to playing it. Hyperlight Drifter, this is another one that I talked about. It's sort of like a Synthwave meets Legend of Zelda meets Dark Souls mishmash. So really looking forward to playing that. Lots of praise from everybody who's played it. Love the soundtrack. Also listened to that many times. Steam World Heist, which was another one that I had my eye on. It was a 3DS exclusive for a long time. Then it made its way over to PS4.
I think I had played its cousin, Steam World Dig.
Steam World Dig, yep. Yeah. So this was more of a space pirate robot turn-based RPG. So, looking forward to playing that.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
You have a way with words?
Yeah. Well, I try to be descriptive.
Yeah, no, you're very good at it.
Yeah. Then that I picked up two more. Neither of these were on sale. I just wanted them. Hmm. I haven't fully committed on the last one yet. It's Subnautica, which is a in-game preview on Xbox One. So you can play like 2 hours of it for free, see if you like it. And then, you know, if you do, you can
commit
and keep your progress and all that. It's an interesting game. It sort of kind of came out when the open world survival craft your way to health boom happened. But this one seemed to has a little bit more staying power. People seem to really like it. You crash land on an alien planet that's covered in water, so you have to survive underwater. And there's, you know, you're an engineer, so you can like fix things. Mm-hmm. But you have to like build these underwater bases and go out and swim and find things. It's just like a different take on it. It seemed pretty interesting to me. So pretty excited to play that one. And the last one that I picked up, the one that I've been trying to get to.
Yeah.
Is Stardew Valley. And I don't know if I should take the time here to gush about it or if I should wait. I don't know.
You want to wait?
Sure.
All right. Sounds good.
Stardew Valley. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's see what happened last time. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Let's see what happened last time.
What happened?
Previously on Polykill, Trav and Jake enjoy the mushy bits between Thanksgiving and Christmas by completing a handful of games each. Trav knocked out Mystical Ninja on N64, Turtles 3 on the NES, Toad's Treasure Tracker on Wii U, and finally finished Fallout 4. Jake overcame Hell in Space by knocking out Doom and completed a novel experience with Virginia. Trav added Paper Mario to his backlog while Jake took it easy and added nothing. Will Jake stick with Mirror's Edge Catalyst or give it the boot? Will Trav and his co-op bro Brian finally finish Geist on GameCube? That's all coming up. Last episode, the fellas talked about what it takes to get back into gamers' good graces for the topic of discussion.
And we're back. Things that we've added to the backlog. So the games that we maybe already owned or maybe we're committing to playing soon.
Right.
I've already mentioned Demon's Crest.
Yeah.
And I'll go ahead and say I did play a little bit of it, and I fucked around and beat it before I was supposed to.
Right.
Now, the game's tough. I mean, it's called Demon's Crest. It's kind of a successor to like the Ghosts and Goblins series and Gargoyle's Quest.
And you said maybe in some ways you feel like it's a bit of a predecessor to some of the Souls games.
Yeah, maybe spiritually in some way.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
obviously
just supposed to be tough.
Right.
It's made by Capcom, so it's a well-made game.
Yeah.
It's evidently a game that you can beat before you're supposed to, and I did that.
Okay.
And I got the bad ending.
Oh.
The bad ending.
The bad ending isn't like too dark or just kind of a shitty resolution or?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I was like, there's no way I just beat it. And so I looked it up online, and people were like, I got the bad ending. Like, and I think story-wise, it's bad. It's like, you know, whatever. You got to get, you have to beat more bosses and get more things before it's the fulfilled.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yada yada. That's but neat. It's still fun. I'm going to go back and try to beat it the correct
get
way.
The good ending.
I added Sonic Adventure.
Okay.
For the Dreamcast. So you know one of my resolutions a year ago.
Yep.
Was to beat more games on the secondary platform.
Right.
Which included things like my Jaguar, my Saturn, my Dreamcast, like things that don't, you know, non-Nintendo,
sure,
essentially. And I've gotten partway into it, and it's been okay.
Okay.
But I've added that one because it's accessible and semi-easy, but just knock that resolution out was really the thing.
Point. But you didn't quite make it.
Didn't.
Not for 2016.
Nah, I didn't quite finish
it
for 2016.
Okay.
No. What about you, Jed? Did you backlog?
I guess I probably put one on there, and that would probably have been Stardew Valley. We did collectively put one on.
Yes, together. We did. Indeed.
But with another one that I put on, like I was going to jump into Dishonored 2, and I think last episode I was like, I'll probably jump into Dishonored 2. I don't know what I'm doing. And then I realized the edition that I got came with the definitive or collect or super
right.
mega awesome Dino Whoppin' whatever version of Dishonored 1, like the upscaled version. So I was like, I'll play through that because I never did finish it.
Yeah.
So, and this time I'm playing it just balls to the wall, kill everything, kill everybody. Not sneaking around, only when I have to.
Just kind of to get through it?
Well, I find that it's less tedious.
Right.
So I'm enjoying that. Plus, they give you awesome powers to kill with, so why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, so yeah, I can see that.
That's been my justification. Now I'm already much further into the game than I ever got before.
Oh, wow.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, we both added together as a unit Super Metroid.
And this thing.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And it comes out, and we're going to talk about this soon. We're trying to beat at least the first few Metroid games in in an order.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah, we beat the classic Metroid months back. Mm-hmm. It was actually kind of earlier in like March or April.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about our experience with Metroid 2, Return of Samus.
Right.
We did get through that one, so we added Super Metroid, played it for almost an entire day.
Super Metroid, we're talking about.
Yeah, Super Metroid.
Yeah, it was like 10 hours straight.
Yeah, beautiful game.
Fun. Beautiful game. And man, if we both weren't brain dead after that.
Yeah, we got stuck in a part that I don't know you only probably get stuck at after 10 hours of playing it straight.
Yeah.
A night of rest might have done us some good, but...
A break in the middle of the day.
I'm looking forward to the next session, honestly, already. I think we're rejuvenated, recharged, ready to Metroid it up.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah, I already... You can see why it's, I guess, considered probably the peak of the franchise, at least the classic version of Metroid.
Yeah. I agree. So games that we've knocked off the backlog. Those are games that we've added, games that we've actually completed.
Yeah.
Wiped the slate.
You got a lot more than I.
Well, you know, it's been a good break.
Yeah.
I picked up a game that I've been looking for, and it's funny. This game, I played on a demo as a lad. A demo disc. Mm. And this demo disc had Parappa the Rapper on it, mm-hmm. and it had Intelligent Cube. And, you know, demo discs were a big thing for PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they would just send them randomly in the mail, I think.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't remember how I got them. I don't remember.
Magazines, sometimes they were bundled in with magazines. Yeah.
But, yeah, I had a demo disc that had, you know, Parappa the Rapper, which I've not been able to find. You know, I'm looking for it as well, but I was able to get a hold of Intelligent Cube. Mm. And it's a puzzle game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this 3D... it's kind of hard to explain, but the idea of it is if you do well enough, it kind of gives you an IQ score, which is not really representative of your IQ, but it's just kind of fun. I did finish it. I didn't get a great score, but I persevered and got through the last levels. But it's fun. It's kind of addictive.
Nice.
And then Brian and I beat Geist.
Yeah.
I finally finished Geist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Nice. That's been a long time coming.
Moving on. And I actually should have said I added this to the backlog. I forgot to do that. We're going to actually play Fatal Frame.
Fatal Frame. Yeah.
Which is, man, kind of creepy already.
Nice.
Creepy already. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
And I'll do one more before I turn it over to you since we have so many here. Paper Mario.
Yeah.
I finished that. So
yeah. This was your replacement for the Super Mario RPG that died on you.
Same flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, except one's just got a paper aesthetic.
Right. So, yeah.
As far as that could go in N64 terms. But, yeah, it's really fun. I enjoy all those. I don't know that I'll play, like, Thousand Year Door, I think, was the one that came out for GameCube, mm-hmm. Paper Mario series.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have gotten my fill, at least for now.
Okay.
But
not something you necessarily left you wanting more. You were like, oh, close that door for now.
Well, it's funny. I felt like it was the right length. I had a lot of fun with it. It's really cutesy and fun, but still, I mean, not even terribly challenging in a way, but something about it just kept me coming. Like, I just wanted to play more of it.
Okay.
So, it's fine.
Cool.
Glad I beat it. It's a good one. Good title.
Very nice.
What about you?
Beat two games, mm-hmm. And one of which soloed. So the other one we share. So we'll discuss that together. But Gears of War 4, I completed the campaign on that.
Nice.
Nice little playthrough. You know, a lot of people talked about the safety of the story and the campaign, and to an extent, I agree. And I think you've mentioned it, and I don't know if we mentioned it on the podcast, but the scope of the story is very narrow.
I think so, yeah. And I haven't gotten past, I might be in Act 4, so I don't know if it grows beyond that.
Not, I mean, yeah. I mean, without spoiling anything, mm-hmm. I won't say anything. But it definitely, I don't think it like was a giant leap forward for the franchise. I felt like it was just another solid entry.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, ooh, this is something new for Gears. It was like, we added some new guns.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's more Gears. That's what I wanted. So
you said that you didn't think that maybe they could hand a world impacting story over to JD Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I actually think that's a really good point. I think this was like an introductory to a new set of characters and I agree with that.
The story overall has a decent amount of weight for JD Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the point, is to like kind of have him dip his toe in the pool of chaos a little bit.
Yeah.
And then throw him into, you know, pure hell next time probably.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it. But yeah, good game overall. Definitely not my game of the year, but,
solid.
It's solid.
The multiplayer is great. I mean,
that's why you go to
Gears. Yeah. I guess the other one, which we beat together, was that Metroid 2 Return of Samus that we beat on a super Super Game Boy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who wants to pass the Game Boy back and forth?
Yeah, who wants to, yeah, do that?
Yeah. Of course, the most frustrating thing, which we found was easy with the Game Boy, was the double jump or the wall jump.
Oh, the wall jump was so much easier on the Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah, because we did screw around with it after we beat the game. We said, you know, what would it would have been like if we played it on this? Graphically, it would have been a struggle.
Yeah.
The Super Game Boy does it so many favors.
Oh, yeah.
But the wall jump mechanic, something about the Super Nintendo controller would almost cancel out your jump if you didn't time it just right.
Yeah.
Whereas it felt like you could just spam it in the Game Boy. But regardless of any of that stuff, the game, I thought, was awesome.
Yeah, we liked it a lot. I mean, I think popular opinion is it's not so good.
Yeah, it's if you compare the three classics, Super, Metroid, regular Metroid, Metroid 2, Metroid 2 is usually coming in third for people.
Right.
For me, it's right up there.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely enjoyed it more than the first one. Mm-hmm. And sort of like the mechanic, like those of you who don't know, haven't played it, it's like a Metroid hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's like these are how many you have to take out. And you get a little total count that shows how many that you've got left to kill. And that's a fun little drive.
It was fun. It was fun to see those Metroid shells broken. You'd be like, you know, there's one near.
Yeah.
And some of them were tougher than others. It definitely... It restricted itself from having that, I guess, what is now termed a Metroidvania, because it did restrict where you could go, because you had to beat a certain number of Metroids in an area before the rest of the map would free up. You didn't have the whole map available to you at the beginning, but at the same time, you don't really have that in the other ones.
Right.
You have to, you know,
it was just a different way to accomplish the same thing.
Exactly.
In some ways,
but
yeah.
I did like the Metroid hunt aspect of it, and it's, you know, it's a game I would almost consider playing again. I did really have a lot of fun with it, and I wonder if we enjoyed it because we played, you know, Metroid on NES so recently, and we had been trained to bomb everything. You know, don't let a single inch of the screen go unexplored.
Yeah.
So, I kind of wonder about that, but I had a lot of fun with it. I really did.
It was a good time. Oh, and we also beat that in one setting too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
It was an extended sitting, but
We made it happen.
Yeah, it was fun. And then for me, as of last night, I completed the Batman Telltale series.
Oh, yeah. Played all the way through it.
Yeah. There are a couple things about it. I'll go ahead and say the things that are kind of weird right off the bat. I don't think there's anything necessarily bad about the story anyway.
Okay.
But it seems like it's almost like it's catching Batman right as soon as Batman is becoming known in Gotham. So it's like a very early telling of Batman. Like, he doesn't have an established line of nemesis or anything like that. He's just basically been Batman and been taking out petty criminals.
Okay.
And now... In this story, he's starting to get some real rivals.
Starting to be a known quantity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is great, because I feel like I'm actually navigating a new Batman story.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm not...
Well, that's smart. I mean, because that's Telltale, what they do is choice. So
yeah, and, you know, I feel like the series has a lot of material to keep going forward because of that.
Okay.
Like, you know, I get to explore this, you know, new relationships with any Batman villain now. They're not known at this point. But you know the characters already. Like, when you see Oswald Cobblepot or you see Harvey Dent, like, you already kind of know how it's going to turn out. So my decisions are often impacted by what I already know that the series holds. So that was kind of one thing that was weird. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but it's weird. It's kind of hard to... Because you're like, well...
To make a choice based...
Yeah, because if I base it on what the story's told me, it's completely different. Because they've not wronged me yet. But I know it's fucking coming.
Right.
Because I know your name. So there's stuff like that. Technically, first couple episodes were good. Third and fourth, some of the cutscenes were really, really glitchy. Really slideshowy, slowy, downy.
I don't know how they're still making that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, it shouldn't happen. Like, maybe my machine stuttered for a minute, but it was pretty hampering. Like, sometimes you would hear voices and then, like, a conversation's going on, then it would cut to it real quick, and they would already be done talking and freeze, and the mouths and the words wouldn't match up. But during the game itself, it never really had that problem.
Well, okay, that's good.
There's a lot of action scenes.
Right.
It never really halted there, but a lot of times in those cut scenes or, like, previously on Batman things, it would get really messed up.
Wow.
But I will say it's prettier than previous Telltale games. Like, I can tell they've made some improvements.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not 100% at this point. But that's pretty much it. That's all I'll say about it, because there's a lot of twists and turns in the story. I think it's pretty good, pretty well written. I'm already excited about a second season.
Nice.
I don't know that it's above Walking Dead for me, but I would put it on at least on par with the Borderlands entry.
Wow, okay. That's high praise, because I know you love that entry.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Very cool.
That's it for completed.
All right.
All right. So if you got some things you want to complete, it's a new year. you know, maybe you have, and I think you talked about this last time, it's a new year coming up. I had no idea what you were talking about, but it's a new year. You know, maybe you have some goals that you want to set for yourself. Maybe you have some business ideas. This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, contact Cowden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email sales@cowden.tech. That is sales@cowden.tech. Thank you, Cowden Tech, once again, for the sponsorship.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the long play.
Long play.
I've been kind of neglecting having one for a while now.
Yeah, but you're a little freed up. You can kind of bounce back and forth a little bit.
I would have, if I had not beaten the Batman series so fast, which is a matter of a couple of days. Mm. I got to the end of like episode 3 and was like, I'm going to beat this for the podcast because I really wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I freed that up. So there's a couple games that I had picked up over the last few months that I've not really thought about and I'll probably commit to because there's not a whole lot coming out.
Right.
And all that. So Shadow of Mordor is one. That okay. I thought was great. Looked good. Wolfenstein Old Blood.
Yeah.
And Beyond Good and Evil, which is an Xbox 360 game that has kind of resurfaced a little bit.
Right, and that's the HD remake of the, I think it was a classic Xbox and PlayStation 2 game, if I recall.
Oh, true dat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they announced that there's going to be a sequel coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically all but confirmed, if not confirmed. I'm not exactly sure where that ended up. But yeah,
there was a little preview at an E3 not long ago, I think.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I've not really committed to any of those. I'd be surprised. Next episode, we'll figure out which direction I went. Probably none of them.
Yeah, you probably will just say, found Atari.
Yeah. I started playing some other Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
But those are the ones kind of, you know, I owned them. I should play them. I paid for them. I should play them, except for
Shadow Mordor. Needle.
So you have committed yourself to a game.
Have I? Oh, I have.
Let's hear it.
Okay. All right. That's fine. All right. So Stardew Valley. Now, this is something that sort of just came out of nowhere for me. You know, I heard the hubbub back when the game was released on PC earlier this year. And people that I pay attention to were like, I just got to get back in there. I got to go play Stardew Valley. I got stuff to do. Got to get in there. Got to do it. And I was like, that sounds cool. And then I saw that it didn't make its release on console. So I was like, let me give this a shot. $15. People love it. Let me just see what it's about. I want to do something different. And it's very different from anything that I've ever played, for sure, especially spent time with. But I bought this game, I don't know, 3 days ago? Maybe.
Okay, might be the first, because I didn't hear from you for like a whole day, and I'm assuming it was that day.
Yeah, probably. But I've already got about 16 hours into the game. Over a period of like 3 days, which is big for me.
Yeah, that's big for most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goddamn. So this game, I don't really know where to start. My explanation of it is it's a cross between classic Legend of Zelda, Harvest Moon, maybe a little bit of The Sims in there. But it's, you know, it's a very upbeat, positive game. There's hope for the future in this game because it's like there's no impending doom. Like the game does not start with the world is ending and now is your time. It's like, no, your grandpa died and left you a farm. So the game starts on a sad note, but it's like, if you ever want to get out of the city and the hustle and bustle, just open this letter. So you open the letter, you get this big parcel of land, you got to clear it, you got to make friends with the people in town and participate in the festivals. And
are you a city feller that is moving to Stardew Valley? Okay.
Yep. And you get mail, you know, from your family and your mom, and people are like, hey, heard that you're out there, you know, living in the country. Saw an article about you in a magazine, or here's a recipe for grandma's cookies so you can bake them in your kitchen. And man, it's just, there's so many things to do. You can upgrade your house, you can bake, you can, you know, make cheeseburgers or cookies or, you know, whatever. You can raise chickens and cows and you can plant crops and go dungeon diving. It's just so much to do.
So for a guy that just completed Titanfall 2 and Doom,
I know,
two of the more heavy metal titles and awesome experiences to come out in gaming ever, maybe.
Yeah.
What kind of lured you into this?
I think it is the opposite. You know, it's I find sometimes myself passively playing games. You know, I get to the point where I'm like just kind of going through the motions, and not to make gaming sound like some big you know, important thing in my life that I need to change. But, you know, sometimes I'll be playing through a game and I'm like, I'll do these checks. I'm like, am I having fun? Am I having fun? And I just try to make sure that I'm not, make sure that I'm just not playing for playing's sake, because I could be doing something else if I'm not having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, like, in the last couple of years, I'll do these checks and I'm like, I'm not really having fun. Hmm. I'm just sort of playing it because I want to play it.
Yeah.
But this game...
Because I paid the money.
Yeah, paid the money. I got a podcast.
Beating it.
Yeah, I got to play games. Or I want to talk about the story or want to see what happens, you know. But mechanically, it's not necessarily fun. And that's what the beauty of Stardew Valley is. It's just everything you do in the game is fun. The combat, if you want to call it that, is not difficult. It's just fun. You know, cutting down trees and clearing rocks and tilling the land and putting fertilizer down and then watering your plants every day. It's fun. It sounds just completely... you know, mundane.
Yeah.
But there's just a beauty in it because you can, it's like, all right, it's spring. Next spring, I'm going to do this. Spring after that, I'm going to do this. You know, you can sort of just, there's just this open-endedness. It's like, right. There's no end to it.
Is it one of those games that gets you because it's like, all right, I'll play for one more day or one more.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like Civilization, one more turn.
One more, yeah.
You know, all these games that kind of have that one more, you're setting yourself up for future, you know, unlocks and things like that.
Right.
And you just keep going.
Yep. Yep. That's what happens. Because it's like what you do is you have a finite amount of energy and you can replenish that energy by eating food. So there's a restaurant in town. If you don't have a kitchen in your house yet, you have to upgrade your house to have a kitchen. So you can go down there and get a salad or spaghetti or whatever. And or you can just eat fruit that you grow. Whatever. And but there's a finite amount of energy, and every action that you do uses some of that energy. So, like when you deplete it or get near depleted, you can get tired. Then you go to bed, and then the day ends, and your game saves, and then tomorrow's a new day. And so, a lot of times that'll happen. It's like before noon, half my energy's gone because I've been watering my plants and my crops. And like, well, you know, I think I'm done watering. I'm going to go to town for the rest of the day. Maybe hang out at the restaurant, talk to a few people. And, you know, go to bed around 6 or 7 and do it again tomorrow. It's just so pleasant. Like the music is pleasant. The art is pleasant. Just everything about it just makes me smile.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
You said or I don't know if you said it, but it's made by one person.
Yeah.
The whole game.
One guy made the game in a 4-year span.
Well, who is this guy?
I don't know. The name of his company is Concerned Ape.
Okay.
I don't know his name.
All right.
I mean, it's $15.
It's on a number of platforms, yeah?
Yeah, it's on PC, PS4, and Xbox now. So no reason not to play this game, in my opinion, because it's a pleasant little distraction.
Yeah.
And really engrossing.
There's some good reviews of it online. I feel like even seeing those, it takes someone I know to convince me to still try it.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I know what you like, and it's right. So I'm kind of surprised that...
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of game that could suck you in.
Oh, I mean, completely engrossed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. I hope it's not one of those that I never hear from again. That seems to happen a lot. You'll get excited about a game.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when I check in, you're like, I haven't played it.
I mean, that might happen just because of life, but it won't happen. But I don't think it's going to happen because I lose interest in this game.
Okay.
I really don't think so.
Awesome, man. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, games that we play on the side,
yeah.
Since you absolutely committed yourself long-term to Stardew Valley.
We're in a serious relationship. So.
Yeah, I have played a few side items. God of War, Chains of Olympus on the PSP.
Yeah, you were dabbling around in that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if all, because again, I haven't played any other, but it seems very kind of barren sometimes. It just seems like kind of, I get bored.
The PSP one is definitely more, less...
I don't mind it. Yeah. It's you know, I'm still early in the game. I only play it for maybe 10 minutes at a whack, being that it's on a handheld and, you know, just whenever I get time. But I don't know. It's kind of a average to below average experience for me so far. I'm hoping it gets better. And then, of course, me and Brian, a little bit of Fatal Frame.
Right.
And if you don't know anything about that game, I'll explain it a little bit. Basically, the game starts off, it's very Japanese-oriented. Your characters are in Japan. I believe some of the releases for it are exclusively released only in Japan.
I think so, yeah.
But this one came to PS2, the first Fatal Frame, and your brother goes into a house with his camera and doesn't return. And then you're his sister, and you go in looking for him, and you have a camera. And the cameras are interesting because they're kind of your weapon.
Okay.
So ghosts get close, you take a picture of them, and the closer they are, the more kind of damage, I guess, it does to them.
Okay.
So that means they got to get scary close.
Gotcha.
And they... You know, for PlayStation 2, pretty freaky stuff.
Nice.
Pretty freaky stuff. So it's one of those that, you know, you got to play in the dark, but it's better with a bro.
Oh, no doubt.
Better with a bro. Me and Brian, we have this bond of, I won't let it get you, bro.
I got you.
We cuddle long after games like that.
Nice.
But that's it.
Okay. All right. So on the side for me is, I guess, what I said was going to be my long play, which turned into the prequel to my long play, which then turned into my side quest, which is Dishonored, the first one.
Yeah.
Because I did actually spend a lot of time with that over the last week before Stardew Valley descended upon me. And then Deus Ex Mankind Divided, I spent some time with that too. Both are sort of similar, actually. You know, they're the first-person action stealth game.
Never played a Deus Ex.
You should. I mean, if you like... It's a little heavy-handed in sometimes its messaging. Like, it's constantly reinforcing why you're playing the game. Mm. Like, which kind of gives it some depth, but it also is a little like, I get it.
Yeah.
but they're fun, and they're pretty, and this one's especially especially good, in my opinion. I think it's actually one of the probably biggest overlooked games of the year, because so many great games came out
in
2016.
True, yeah.
But this one's really good. I mean, it got 9s and 10s all around. And
who makes it?
Eidos Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, great development team, long history of making great games, and yeah, game's a lot of fun, big open world to play around in. So, I really do recommend playing it, but those are the two that I've been dabbling with. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, is it time for the big old...
Oh, I think it is.
Dear gosh.
I think it is, buddy.
Well, if you've been following us, maybe you followed us a year ago when we did our superlative episode, The Magnificent 17, I believe it was called, there at the end of the year. We had 17 superlatives that we gave to games we had played that year.
Right.
And, of course, we were still in our infancy as a podcast. We just had started that August, and so we referenced a lot of games that we played pre-podcast.
Right.
This, you've heard everyone that we're going to talk about, and we're going to go in a little, you know, not a ton of detail, but more detail as to why we gave them these, you know, compared to the rest of the games we played, why we think that they are.
These are the standouts.
These standouts, yeah, exactly. So we'll get going here with the list. So the number one, and we didn't put these in any order, they're just kind of as we thought of them.
Yep.
Easiest game beaten in 2016.
Okay.
Game that was so fucking easy.
So fucking easy.
Journey for me.
Journey.
I just pushed forward a lot and listened to some music.
Yeah.
Occasionally I push left.
Okay, that's fair.
Not saying that makes the game bad.
Not at all.
But it's a very simple experience.
That's not the question. Yeah.
The game isn't supposed to be a challenge. It's supposed to be an experience.
Right.
But it was easy.
You know, here we go.
Easy notch in the belt.
Similar for me. Virginia. Easiest game. You know, there was really no gaminess to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It was the most movie-like game I've ever played. And I think I explained why. It was because, you know, the cutting that they would do, like mid-action, the cuts that would happen, you would change scenes while you were walking. The musical score is very cinematic. And the whole game was just basically a big playable movie, in not necessarily visual sense, because it's very stylized, it's, you know, quite gamey looking. Yeah. But at the same time, it was very the most movie-like game I've ever played.
Yeah, it's, you describing it has made me want to play it, so I've been on the lookout, because I missed the deal.
Yeah,
but I'm on the lookout for any future discount.
Yeah, I do recommend people play this thing, because it's, you know, it's 2.5 hours maybe, and it's definitely replayable. Mm-hmm. You can learn more about the story, I think, if you play it again. And they also give you like arbitrary gamer score points. It's just like when I beat the game, I got like 119.
Oh.
Or like completing a certain action will give you like 33. And like the point is that when you beat the whole game, you get the full round 1,000.
Yeah.
So they just kind of, it's pretty funny, actually.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Fastest game beaten in 2016. Game that took you no time. That doesn't always mean it's the easiest.
Right.
Some easy games take forever.
Right.
But the fastest game for me was a game that I should have beaten as a 5-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah?
And I finally was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm doing it. Can you guess?
I should be
Super
able
Mario
to.
Bros.
Super Mario Bros. Okay.
I just sat down one day and was like, fuck it. I'm getting it. I'm beating it.
Yeah.
I'm going to match the abilities of my 41-year-old father back when this game first graced my living room. Yeah, it took me like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
just to actually sit down and be like, I just fucking do this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I guess for me, it would be Gunman Clive on 3DS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I was in the car with you and you beat that.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
Hour total.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I felt like you yelled longer than that.
Not really. Okay. I mean, my overall time may be a little longer, but my run through.
Right.
Was okay. An hour. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Most regretted game beaten in 2016.
I didn't have any.
Really?
I didn't have anything that I hated because I'm so damn choosy with the games that I play.
I typically am.
But you do the roulette thing, though. You're like, let's play...
Sometimes.
That sometimes. And, but I'm saying that can lead to a regretful.
There are a lot of games decisions. I bail out of that never get talked about ever. But this is one I stuck with and actually beat.
Okay.
And it was kind of...
Not Thief.
Well, no, it wasn't. That was last year.
No.
But it was out of a need for a series win. Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks.
Okay.
That game...
That was very early this year.
It was very early this year. Yeah. One of the first games I beat this year. Man, I really, as far as Legend of Zelda experiences go...
Bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of DS bullshit.
Gotcha.
Blow here, use your swiper here, yeah. Bullshit.
Stick this in that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, which is weird, because I played Phantom Hourglass on the DS. I thought it was a much superior game than Spirit Tracks. So fuck trains. If trains ever enter another Zelda game, I'm out.
Okay.
No more trains.
No more trains.
Done. I'm done with trains.
Yeah.
But you didn't have anything.
No, I didn't. I mean, I looked back through all the games that I beat, and I was like, nah, I like that enough. I like that enough. I don't regret any time I spent with that.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, you're not wasting your time like that.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I mean, yeah. I guess that's the point. And I'm not saying there were not regretful gaming experiences. I just didn't beat one that I regret beating.
Sure.
Just to clarify.
Game beaten in 2016, you'd most likely play and beat a game.
Yeah. Yeah, for me... I meant to put this as a two-way tie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just go ahead and add that now for the show notes. But that would be Titanfall 2 and a tie with Doom. I would go back I'd go back through either of those.
You kind of see those as kind of cousins to each other. It seems like you think there are a lot of the same... similar experience. Similar, not maybe experience, but feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the speed. Mm-hmm. Even though Titanfall 2 is a little more skill based and less more of a modern shooter than Doom is,
sure,
because Doom basically just gave the middle finger to every modern FPS trope.
Doom also had to riff off an existing idea and fan base.
Right, they had a lot to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't have a lot to prove. I don't think that's wrong. I think it had expectations to meet.
Yeah,
Titanfall 2 had a lot to prove.
It did.
Yeah,
it did.
So I think both of them. We're kind of surprises for me in both respects, because Titanfall 1 I played and I was like, this is all right. And then, you know, I was like, not really anticipating a great sequel, but bam, there it was.
Bam, there it was.
And Doom, I was like, we'll see.
Right.
I remember the Doom 3 release and I was like, it kind of fizzled. So everybody was like, eh. But yeah, both of them were surprises in different ways.
Sure. Doom is definitely one I might play again. Someday, but the one I wrote down here was one that I actually already mentioned in this episode, which is Metroid 2, Return of Samus.
So the moose.
Because, I don't know, I really had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Just using the old, what was it, the sticky ball?
I think it was a spider
ball. Yeah, where you could just crawl on the ceilings.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I wish that would have made a comeback.
Yeah, like me too. And you know, it's interesting that I had so much fun with a Game Boy game. I keep forgetting it. We played on the Super Nintendo, but it is a Game Boy game.
And it's an interesting thing about it, you know, and I was thinking about it when you were talking about it, is like, you think about mobile games now, and I saw one of the funniest Reddit comments that I've ever seen. I was like, what makes the least sense? It was like one of the asterisks, like, what thing makes the least sense, period? And it was like, mobile games, you pay more not to play them. Microtransactions. You don't want to grind, pay $5. So you have to play it less. So you pay more to play it less.
Oh, that is actually a really good point.
Yeah. So you think about mobile games now.
Yeah.
And they're like that. But really, I mean, Metroid 2 is a mobile game. I mean, it's a mobile platform. And it's a full-fledged game that took us all fucking day to beat.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, man, there's so much crammed into that game.
It was amazing.
I mean, especially considering... It's a Game Boy game.
Yeah.
So.
And there's probably stuff in there we never found.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is baffling. Oldest game beaten in 2016. Now, this is one that people won't be surprised by what I say, but for you, what was the...
Metroid.
Was it?
Yeah.
The Ridge.
The OG Metroid, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
1988?
I believe 88? So. 89? Yeah. It was in those middle 80s.
Yeah. Close to 30 years.
Yeah, for me, I have a bit of a caveat with mine, because Bomberman was released in 1983 on arcade, but I played the port of it, which was not released until 1989. But Ice Climber was released in October of 1985.
Okay.
So, depends on what, you know.
Which one you want to go with.
Which one you want to go with. Acceptable. So, either Bomberman or Ice Climber. Both NES classics. Right. Ice Climber can lick my ass.
Right.
Bomberman is awesome.
Is the bomb.
It is the bomb.
There you go.
Actually, Ice Climber would be one of the games I regret playing.
That's fair. You hated that. I remember that.
So much regret a game beaten. Spirit Tracks and Ice Climber.
Okay.
Newest game beaten in 2016. Now, this is kind of the opposite effect. People are like, would you beat Travis with Sonya Doom?
Yeah.
It came out May 13th. That's the newest game I played and or beat.
I guess mine would be Titanfall 2.
Lies, actually, because I just beat Batman.
Yeah.
I just beat Batman. I didn't update my list.
Yeah, you didn't.
Batman came out, what, November? December?
I don't know when it completed. I know when I think it started in September.
Yeah, fair enough.
But either way, it's newer. Two. But I guess Titanfall 2 would be the newest game I beat. That was an October release, I think.
Scariest game beaten in 2016.
This is also a two-way tie for me.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
All right, so first is Doom.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of scary.
Yeah, some of those dudes are right ugly and full of evil.
Just mean.
Mean.
It's mean as hell.
Mean as hell.
And the other would be Inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was spooky.
Not in a classic, like, ghost spooky, but, like, it's not really a spoiler. Not even really close to being a spoiler. I'm just saying that.
Just in case.
You remember the gruesome deaths that happened in Limbo. They're a little more fully realized in Inside. And there's a heaviness and a gloom and just a what the fuck factor that happens in Inside. Like, you're just running along and then you just see van headlights or truck headlights.
Right.
And then, you know, someone pops out and just shoots you.
Yeah. And you're just a boy. Just a boy.
It's like, what the fuck? So, yeah. Yeah. I didn't really play horror games this year, but in terms of, like, overall scariness, I think Inside edges it out, but Doom's close.
Now, I only play horror games with my couch co-op bro buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah.
We'd set out to play a ton of these each year, but, you know, things always get in the way, you know. But January, it's hard to believe that it's been almost a year. But in January, we beat Outlast.
Oh, yeah.
And that game was, it gave me the creeps.
Yeah.
It was totally creep-worthy.
Yeah, yeah. So more so than Geist, then.
Yeah, Geist really... actually not so creepy. Okay. More of a, you're a ghost creeping other people.
Okay.
Other things.
Okay, gotcha.
In Outlast, you know, you're defenseless and you just run.
Run and hide.
And it was very much, because we'd just beaten Alien Isolation not long before that.
Right.
Same vein.
Yeah.
You know, you're pretty much defenseless and you just run and hide and...
Hope for the best.
There's just something about that. Like, you really feel it. You really feel defenseless.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing to have in a game where you... So used to just
being
let me
powerful.
Just shoot him.
Yeah.
Let me just shoot him with my gun. Oh, let me just get more ammo and shoot. No, you just fucking run.
Yeah.
Wait until they go away and then try again to get past them. So, great experience.
That brings up a fun point, and I don't know that I've made this comment on the podcast, and I feel the need to now since we sort of brought it up. You're talking about feeling defenseless in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
My old buddy Adam Sessler.
I'm
my old buddy. Pretty much any time there is a, you know, mainstream media need to talk about video games, they go to him, or they used to. And they're like, what about these violent video games? And he was like, I don't think the draw to violent video games, if you want to call them that, is to shoot other things. It's to be so important that you're being shot at.
Well, that's an idea.
Yeah. And that's a neat perspective. Don't know that it's right, but it's sort of the exact opposite of what you're talking about in Outlast. You're not, I mean,
The
draw is that you're important enough to be hunted, but you can't do anything about it except hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Red Barrel, I believe, made the game.
Yeah, Red Barrel Studios.
I believe they're making a sequel, or maybe they already have. I'm not sure.
The sequel is in progress. The demo was out a bit ago. It's based around a religious cult, so that's really exciting to me.
I think we'll probably play that. I mean, it was such a good experience. It was about 5 hours. Like I felt like toward the end, maybe it went a little too long, but it also could be the fact that me and Brian are so precarious in games like that. we inch through it. Gotcha. Careful not to, we don't like being scared. Right. So that's part of it. Most nice. Difficult game beaten in 2016. I have a three-way tie because I could not separate these in my mind because they're very similar in mechanic, and they each had, you know, sticky parts that were just cushion punching hell. Metroid, which we both experienced, was a very difficult game on a number of levels. Yes. One, you have to beat what's on the screen, and two, you got to find where the fuck to go always.
And I would also say there's a technical.
Yeah, things. A little glitchy. A lot
of slowdown.
Yeah, a lot of slowdown. Batman for the NES, made by Sunsoft.
Yes.
I talked about this. Three or four levels, no problem. That fifth level bumps that game way, way up. And Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
A very modern game, but very much just like an extended. It's you know, has those Meat Boy-like expectations in terms of precise jumping and platforming and those kinds of things, but without that quick. You know, you have to remember to save in parts, and it was frustrating at times. But looking back on it, great game.
Yeah.
But don't go in there thinking it's just cute owls and bullshit. It's tough.
Not cute owls and bullshit.
Fair enough. Metroid, Batman, and Ori and the Blind Forest were probably three of the toughest games I've ever played, and this year.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Metroid was mine.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that was a fucking nightmare at times.
Yeah, I wonder if going back now after we've trained ourselves to the way Metroid thinks, if it would be an easier experience.
Yeah,
that probably would.
Certainly possible.
But going in there just being like, well, we've never actually played a Metroid game. Herder.
Let's beat it. Herder.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough.
Yeah, it was bad.
Most compelling story of a game that you beat in 2016.
Okay.
Let me go first?
Yeah. Well, no, I'll go first.
Okay.
You went first last time. It's also a two-way tie.
Hmm.
Titanfall 2.
Hmm.
I just love the campaign in this game.
Really?
Just love it.
You loved it.
I really did. And it's short. It's concise. It's also not necessarily new ground. Mm. But it's very well told in terms of balance between character and dialogue and avoiding tropes but embracing the right ones. And it, you know, I just think it sort of weaved this great little tale of you know, man and machine bonding and really interesting mechanics with a great reason to have these mechanics.
Right.
It wasn't like, hey, we want a game where there's a boulder chasing a man. You know, it's just like, no, you know, it was great. It was great. I really liked it. And the other would be Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
That was
making a lot of headlines here for you.
I just think it's...
a recency bias, or really is it the...
No, because I did go back and review everything that I played, and I just think it was probably so divisive,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so open to interpretation and just fun to think about.
Okay.
And that's why I really enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
What about yourself?
Yeah. Can you guess? It's going to be pretty easy.
I don't know.
Life is Strange.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. It was great. It was great.
The reason it didn't make it for me, Life is Strange, it was just...
Did you play that in 2016 though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, I played it before you did.
I didn't know when it came out. Maybe you'd played it.
Well, it came
out
in 2015, but I'd played this
year. Okay, sure.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I beat it this year. Yeah. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. Very compelling, very interesting. A lot of twists, a lot of turns. Great acting in it, voice acting.
Yeah.
If you haven't played it yet, you're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, play it. And I think what I liked about the game, if we had one on here that was like favorite characters, it would be the two leads in that game.
Sure, absolutely.
It's just the story overall was like, it parts for me.
Yeah.
There were definite lulls where I felt like this could be cleaned up and we could have moved past this, et cetera.
But overall, I think it was good.
Oh, yeah, totally. Get it.
Crappiest story of a game beaten in 2016.
I really couldn't think of anything solid here.
Really?
Yeah.
I have one that's kind of controversial.
I do have one.
Oh.
It's controversial, though.
Well, let's hear it.
Doom.
Well, I could see that.
I like that turnaround. Oh, yeah, I can see that. Like, you gave it just a second to think about it.
I was like, nobody can say anything bad about Doom in my mind. But I was like, yeah, that story.
Yeah, that story was weak.
Not necessary. The story was just a vehicle to make the scenery change on occasion.
Not well told. Like, honestly, and maybe it was my own... Maybe it's just so much going on screen, everything's so fast. Half the time, I didn't even know who was talking to me because it had those voices like, hey, you should come here and do that. And then another was like, no, you should not go there. And I was just like,
I had to look it up on Wikipedia after to figure out what happened.
Who are these people? What happened? So, like, I do not think it was necessarily a bad story, but it was the least well-told story that I played.
And like you said, and we've said over and over again, the story's not the reason you play it. No. The story's just in there.
That's not what makes it a good game.
For me, Fallout 4.
Okay.
The main quest line.
Okay.
Toward the end, Bethesda has this way of hooking you right off the bat, like, you're the one, you're the chosen one, do this, do that.
Yeah.
And toward the end, I was just kind of like, blah, just did not care.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm chosen, where's my boy? Like, I just didn't care anymore.
Nice.
So, the rest of the game is fine. I just want to say out front, Fallout 4 is a great game.
You play Fallout for mechanics, though.
Yeah, it's huge, it's expansive, there's tons to explore. I've heard the DLC is great, but the main story is not even important. Most unique gameplay of a game you beat in 2016.
Did I have an answer for this? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did have an answer for this.
What'd you play that you were like, well, this is kind of a weird thing to do?
Virginia.
Really?
Yeah.
Again?
Most unique. And not necessarily best, but just like, huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Mine was a super hot.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's crazy mechanic. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Addictive mechanic at that. Platform of most beaten games for you in 2016.
That'd be Xbox. I beat most of my games on Xbox this year.
But you can't guess mine.
It's NES.
NES.
Oh, NES. Yeah. Well, it had to be close, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not really. Oh. The SNES games take a little bit of time.
That's fair. That's fair.
Some of the NES games I can knock out in a sitting. Out of the 65 total games I beat this year, 25 of them were on the NES.
Holy crap.
So, good chunk.
Yeah.
Platform you wish you'd beat more games on in 2016. Mine is the SNES.
Okay.
I'm growing to really like that platform.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't have one growing up. I was a Genesis kid.
Yeah.
And so getting some of those high-profile, long-sought-after SNES games, I'm starting to understand why people...
Well, I got the love.
Yeah. I mean, people were in love with the NES in general. I mean, that kind of started what we know as the modern gaming craze.
Oh, yeah.
The SNES, I don't think it's underappreciated at all, but, you know...
Maybe underexposed. I don't know.
I feel like, you know, there was the Genesis, and there was a lot of things that kind of came... The NES was by itself.
Sure.
But SNES had rivals. SNES, in my opinion, is awesome.
I'm with you on that.
They're all good, but the SNES is really good.
I'm with you with that. For me, it would be PlayStation. I have more PlayStation
PS4?
Games. Yeah. But yeah, just PlayStation in general, because I do have Vita games that I want to play as well. So just saying PlayStation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Games that you beat in a single sesh.
One at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood the question.
I did too, actually, until just this minute.
Okay.
It was a holdover from last year. I actually listed...
The question is, did you beat a game in one sitting?
Just sit down and beat it.
Yeah. So yeah. Metroid 2.
Yeah. I did it a few times, actually, but that's not the way I answered the question. I answered the question because, you know, obviously I track everything extensively. Games that I beat in the same day. Multiple games in the same day.
Okay.
So I won't even read through that. I won't read through any of them.
Okay.
There were games that we beat in a single session. Yeah. Big deal. Best co-op experience in 2016.
Do you have one?
I do.
What's yours?
Borderlands 2.
Okay.
Me and Josh played through that a lot. I got real addicted to it. Not as much as our friend Dave, who's got like over 1,000 hours in it, continuing.
Crazy.
But, you know, I had my fill when we got to the end. I was like, that's a good...
That's nice. Gears of War 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can see that.
Yep.
Best multiplayer experience in 2016 in general. Just
Gears 4.
Rocket League.
I can see it. I just didn't spend as much time with it. Yeah.
A lot of hours in it. Loved it.
I think numbers wise, I think I put more time into Gears of War 4 than any other game this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm over 50 hours.
I would say I probably put more hours into Rocket League. That might be the game I play most.
We should put that as a stat for next year.
Yeah.
Like what game did you spend the most time with?
Yeah, actually, I was going to factor it into the next question, which is best overall value.
Mm.
I still think Rocket League.
See, I want this another way.
Yeah?
I want another interpret this question differently, and that's fine, I guess, because it's sort of open to that. But value in terms of what you get for the money, not necessarily longevity, is kind of what I want with Doom. Because you get three distinct modes.
That's true.
Even though the standard multiplayer is a little bit lackluster compared to other titles that I've played this year.
Kind of like Black Ops 3, how it was almost three games in one.
Yeah, and it's just like, here's this...
That might have been what won it last year for you,
I think
actually.
It was. I was just like, here's this really badass campaign, great mechanics, super pretty, super fast, awesome soundtrack, great fucking game, just to begin with. Here's multiplayer, we'll do a bunch of free updates and shit, and we'll throw in an arcade mode for free. Oh, and here's Snap Map 2. So it was like, there's just so much on that disc just out of the box. You don't even have to pay for, and plus all the free updates. So
I think can see that
value-wise, Doom was this year.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I can't disagree with it.
There you go. Please don't.
Rocket League, though, cheap.
I get it. Yeah, $15.
Continuously updated, new modes.
Yeah.
Multiplayer is thriving, addictive gameplay. So easy to get in there and play with your friends.
Yeah.
Customization options.
Easy to learn, hard to master, classic video game. I mean, that's what you want in a video game.
Yeah.
Easy to learn, hard to master. That's the sweet spot. So,
yep. Yeah. Games you'd wish you'd beaten.
Now, I read this as singular, so I just put
game.
One. Okay.
Sorry,
because I'm like, I only got one. There's more.
Have
but
one.
If I had to pick one, my pick would be Far Cry Primal. I want to
Me
beat
too.
That.
I wish you'd well at least gotten further.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear more.
Yeah.
Me was Dragon Quest VIII. I wish I could just put it to bed.
Oh yeah, that's the one that you just grind on.
And I'm near the end, and I got a little fatigue with it, but I'm not stuck. You know,
good.
I can still. I haven't ruined it, as I do. I have three distinct save slots.
Okay.
I'm ready to go. I just need to get the gumption up to say, "All right, let's get back in here.
We'll do it."
I put a lot of time in it too. It might actually be my number two game in terms of time spent.
That makes sense because I know you did spend a lot of time, you know, leveling.
Yeah,
you just like do these mundane quests over and over again while watching sports.
Actually, for a long period of time, because my baseball team tanked mid-season, I started watching the Forensic Files nightly marathons that they put on HSN.
Nice.
Yeah, so I when I think of Dragon Quest VIII, I think of really dark, grim murder and blood splatter evidence.
Maybe that's why you don't want to go back to it.
It's probably it, yeah. But as soon as I see Forensic Files on, I kind of get a hankering to play it. So
maybe we should put on like This Old House or something. Something completely uplifting.
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Most badass experience.
I think this is an
Doom?
Easy Doom.
Yeah,
it's an easy answer.
Doom. It was totally
I feel
Doom.
Like this whole question was geared to get a Doom answer.
It was, but it was from last year. It was left over from last year, I think.
Well, no.
Or was it not?
No, this is
this
new
one? Okay, this new one. Yeah, it was for Doom.
That makes perfect sense.
Most relaxing experience. Are you going to say Virginia?
No.
You going to say Stardew Valley?
I'm going to say Stardew Valley.
I could see
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's not recency bias. Like,
no, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a different flavor game than anything you've talked about all year.
Completely.
For me, The Adventures of Lolo's.
Okay.
I played a couple of those, and Tracy came down, and we'd play them and kind of go through the puzzles together, and man, I just enjoyed that. And we're still looking for the third one.
Nice.
It's the more sought after, more expensive, more rare, more hard to find version of it.
Is there trouble with, like, fakes of that one?
No, not really. It's not that expensive.
Okay.
But it runs around $50, and I'd like to get it for considerably cheaper.
Sure.
And I will fucking wait until I do.
There you go.
Yeah, so best soundtrack to a game. This is another one that's kind of geared. I had a game in mind when I thought of the question. I'll say that.
I know, and I know what the answer is, but I also have a tie.
Oh, mind. Good.
Yeah, I do have a tie.
Well, I'll go ahead and say Doom.
Doom.
Because I saw them perform it live at the Game Awards.
That was badass.
It was so awesome.
I really want them to go on tour. Like, I want that to be a thing.
Mick Gordon.
Yeah.
He's
Australian, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go on Spotify, you can listen to the whole soundtrack.
It's so good.
And I, you know, there are a few tracks in there that are just, you know, kind of atmospheric. But if you see a track that's over 5 minutes long, it's titties.
Yeah.
Click on it, listen to it.
Yeah.
Full blast into your head.
So good.
It's good.
So good.
What do you got, though?
I do have Doom, and also tied with Virginia.
It sounds like you've only played three games this year. Titanfall 2, Virginia, and Doom.
I know it does, and Stardew Valley, so forth. But no, the music in that game is... noticeably good.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of times good music sort of blends in and you don't notice it. It just kind of gets the mood for the game right. You know, the scene, the character, whatever. So like I'm just really impressed with the music in the game because it's so cinematic and so noticeably like, this is good.
Nice.
Really good.
Game that surprised you the most. You didn't see it coming.
Didn't see it coming. This is also a two-way tie.
I'm going to Virginia and Stardew Valley.
No.
Damn.
But you're right on one of them. Stardew Valley is one of them.
Yeah?
Did not see that coming.
Yeah, you didn't think you'd get us hooked.
No, not at all. And the other is Titanfall 2.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was just like, I heard people were like, hey, this Titanfall 2 is really good, really good. I'm like,
whatever.
Well,
it's got Titanfall in the title.
Yeah, and then I was like, yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For me, Mystical Ninja starring Goma.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense because you never play anything like that because there probably isn't anything like that.
It's true. In terms of U.S. releases, I'm wondering if there was anybody on the fence about releasing it in the U.S. It's so steeped in the Japanese culture and so weird, but man, I loved it so much. And
that's awesome.
I'm still looking for some other Goemon games on the SNES and N64 because of that one. I was very surprised.
Baller.
I liked it.
Nice.
Biggest disappointment.
I don't know that that was the game that was released this year, and I don't think that's necessarily important. But Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
I think it was this year, was it not?
Probably.
Okay.
But anyway, I played it this year.
Well, we did, you know, we previewed it.
Yeah.
Did you give it the boot?
I haven't pulled the trigger.
Okay.
But
pulled the trigger on your boot?
The old boot trigger. I think I probably will.
Okay.
Or at least put it like on the burner that is furthest to the back.
Furthest, absolutely, I think. Yes. People say.
Yeah.
For me, I actually had a really hard time coming up with an answer to this.
The disappointment?
Yeah, believe it or not, I really did. Hmm. Because every game that I played, when I was looking through the list here, I was like, pretty much turned out the way I expected. You know, okay. You know, maybe the story of Fallout 4 fell flat, but overall, I was really blown away by a lot that the game had to offer. And, of course, I started playing it last year anyway.
Right.
What I had to settle on was Far Cry 4. Because I really thought, okay, Far Cry 3 was just so much better.
Yeah.
That Far Cry 4, for me, I was like, a lot of great things about it. Beautiful game. But basically, Far Cry 3 with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
Which, it's not bad.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
But I thought it was. It definitely wasn't a step forward.
Mm.
Was, you know, maybe Primal was better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Primal makes perfect sense for Far Cry.
Yeah, so I went with Far Cry 4.
Yeah. Cool.
Did you answer one? What was your biggest disappointment?
Yeah. Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Best RPG played. Best RPG.
This is a three-way tie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Skyrim Special Edition.
Of course.
It's
beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful.
It's a good way for us to talk about Skyrim since it came out so long ago.
Yeah, boy. Pokemon Moon.
Ah.
And it's a little RPG-ish, so Stardew Valley.
Ah.
Because you do level up, and then you become a specialist in different things. So, like, there's fishing, mining, farming, foraging. And you can level up, and then once you reach level 5, then you can specialize. And then once you do that, you can level up from there. So,
okay.
Yeah. There's RPG elements.
Mine was a game that has moved into maybe my top, at this point, because I've not played them all, top three SNES game, at least.
Okay.
Soul Blazer.
Yeah.
A game
you
that
loved
I...
this game.
I did, I loved
you
it.
You loved it.
I paid good money for it. I don't pay a lot of good money for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I went all out for this one, because people had talked about it, and they were like, oh, this is you, Trav. You had to play it. And they were right. I really
nice.
Did enjoy it. And there's really not a ton special about it. It's just a really fun action RPG experience. I played its sequel, Illusion of Gaia, and still thought Soul Blazer was a lot better.
Mm.
And, yeah, I thought it was great.
Nice.
If you have a SNES and you've not played that game, you
know
should.
It.
It's hard to find, though. It's a little pricey.
Mm.
But it's good.
Boom.
Well, I think it's one of the Quintet games. I might be mistaken. I'm pretty sure it was one of those Quintets.
You would know. I would not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Nice.
But it's really good. And I kind of to go back to biggest disappointment, because we didn't save games that we had beaten for that one.
That's fair.
Secret of Evermore was
okay.
Disappointing as well.
Yeah. You retired that. You kicked it off the old backlog.
I did.
You got the book and everything. Still hated it.
Yeah. I had something that told me how to beat it, and I was still like, fuck it.
Yeah,
if I have to go through a maze for 30 minutes to get to this goddamn Rat King and lose, it's not worth my time.
No.
And you had a slew of RPGs, so best action game that you played and or beat.
Yeah.
Leave it open.
We're just going to say played, because I haven't beat this yet, but
okay.
Mafia 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all the action games?
All the action games. And I say action because it doesn't say shooter.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, okay. Yeah, for me, I would say, because I play a lot of action platformers.
Mm-hmm, you do.
Gunstar Heroes.
Okay, and that's the Western shmup sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, made by Treasure. Lots of really cool graphical things on the Genesis.
Cool.
They did a lot of cool things with the way you can combine your weapons.
Oh, not Gunstar Heroes. Yeah, I'm thinking the wrong one.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yep, forget that. Thinking a completely different game. Gunstar Heroes, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
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 Tons of fun, man.
Yeah.
I really want to play it with a bro, because I hear the co-op mode is also really, really fun.
Nice.
On the Genesis, tons of stuff going on screen. Fucking blast processing to die for.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
Awesome.
And you said Mafia 3, best puzzle game played. You play a lot of puzzle games?
Not a lot.
You don't play a lot?
Not a lot. Usually puzzles is like an element of a game that I'll play.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the driving mechanic.
Uh-huh.
But this one I played could definitely be considered a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
Inside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally see it.
So, yeah. Great, great fucking game in general, and great puzzles that were fun to complete and not just so obtuse that it was a pain in the ass to figure them out.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I guess that could also, you know, that game falls under a couple genres.
Yeah.
But if you want
to. Puzzle platformer, I think is what it's considered.
Sure. Now, of course, I play, by playing older games, I play a lot of puzzle. You could call Bomberman a puzzle game.
Yep.
You know, you could call, you know, of course, Palamedes, which is one that I played and talked about
right.
briefly. I mean, there's a ton, Intelligent Cube, but I really think Palamedes was probably the one.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, man. I really did enjoy that. And it's stupid. It's just a stupid game. You just shoot numbers at things.
Yeah.
But I think part of the reason I liked it was because I didn't see myself liking it as much as I did.
Yeah.
Might not be the best game out there, but I was like, God damn. And I played it for like four days straight.
Why wasn't that your surprise of the year?
I was just more surprised by...
That's fair.
You know, because I like puzzle games in general.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't know I would like Goemon at all.
Okay.
And ended up... So that was a good question. That's a good question.
Makes sense.
What's next here? So it's kind of the last one we have. And if you have any that come to mind in terms of, you know, genres maybe we missed out on.
Sure.
Because I just kind of picked the ones that I knew that I'd have an answer for.
Right.
Most underrated game played.
Okay. And do you have an answer?
I do.
What's your answer?
Blackthorn.
Okay.
Yeah, made by Blizzard. Yeah. Nobody talks about that game.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Mine is, it did not come out this year, but is one that I played through early in the year. Tales from the Borderlands. I don't think enough people talk about the game.
I think it's a good point. In terms of Telltale series, people think...
So strong.
Walking Dead, Game of Thrones.
And maybe it's because, you know, the... Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Batman, there's a much broader and more,
yeah,
you know, more people out there are familiar with these properties, so they get into them because of that. Borderlands, it's a game about a game, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But man, such great writing, such great characters, genuinely funny, a lot of fun to play.
It is
and
really
I just,
funny.
I don't see anybody talking about it. And I'm just like, guys, yeah. It's so good. So good. You should play it.
Yeah, it ranks up there for me as well. Like, if I was to rank the Telltale series that I've played, Walking Dead is above and beyond for me.
Sure.
And then...
It's a battle for second place.
It's a battle for second place between Batman and Borderlands 2. And then I would put Wolf Among Us around third.
Okay.
What did I say?
You said Borderlands 2. But,
oh, Tales from the Borderlands. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then Batman. Right. And then I put Wolf Among Us third, which is still a good entry. But,
sure.
To me, is I've not played a Telltale series I didn't like.
Yeah, yeah, I have.
That said, I've not played
the Minecraft one.
I've not played that one.
Yeah, it's not
I've
that great.
Not played some of the stuff that they made before Walking Dead,
like the Sam
Back
and
to
Max,
the Future, Sam
Jurassic
Max,
Park.
Jurassic Park. I've not played any of those.
And maybe they're good, and we just didn't know.
Yeah. I've read that they're not good.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, there's a reason the Walking Dead was like the burst on the scene. But in terms of, you know. Blackthorn, an articulated platformer, little slow paced at times, also a puzzle game,
right?
But I don't know, I think it's really, really underrated.
Gotcha.
So that's pretty much it for the superlative sesh.
Yeah,
but we do have some resolutions we'd like to get into, and we encourage everybody to make a resolution, maybe share them with us.
Yeah. And also I've got a few things that I wanted to touch on as well.
Please do.
So
yeah,
let's do that.
Do it.
One thing I want to do is talk about some of my proudest gaming accomplishments. I've got two.
Oh.
So it's not a lot.
Well.
But just things that I'm happy it happened.
Yeah. By way of backlog clearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just in general, things that I wish I would have done up until now.
Okay.
Beating Metroid.
Felt good.
That was good.
Yeah.
Beating Metroid 2.
Just as good.
Yeah. Icing on the cake.
Maybe it felt better to be the first one because it was fucking hard.
I think it felt better to be the first one, but it just felt good to be the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the other was completing every numbered Gears of War game this year.
That was cool. It was a good series romp,
yeah.
Man.
It was like, the wait for 5 is now going to be extra long. You know,
yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know, I played 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, are you geared out?
Toward the end of 4.
Yeah.
Like in the campaign, I was like... All right, let's get into some cover and shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I really, really love the series, and so glad I finally played through them all.
Great,
it was
man,
awesome. What about you, any proud? I know I'm just springing this on you.
Well, there are some actually. This year, I didn't mention this in any of the superlatives, but you know, this was the year that me and Mickey we tag teamed and beat Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, and that was a game that, I guess you could kind of say, it haunted my past. I got it as a kid, and it was tough, and I didn't like it, and then I kept trying it. It's hard, and you know, having a buddy to hand the controller off to, and we finally made it through it. It was, felt really good.
Yeah.
Metroid, obviously, another one.
Yeah, that was big.
And then some of the, you know, like Batman and beat Contra.
Right.
Like just some of those big Hallmark games.
Beat Paperboy.
Some of those Hallmark games from my childhood that were really tough. And I just sat down, got the focus, beat it. I mean, you can even put Super Mario Bros. In there, too, the original.
Yeah.
Some games that I just, you know, didn't really ever think I could beat or didn't try to beat and just said, let's do this. Did it.
Yeah.
Feels good.
So if you had to classify your year of gaming, genre-wise, what would it be?
Action platformers, man.
Action platformers.
I played a ton of them.
Okay.
Batman, Shatterhand, Toki, Power Blade, tons of them.
Yeah.
And I loved all of them.
Nice.
Mega Mans.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of Mega Mans. Kabuki Quantum Fighter, Rygar, Ori and the Blind Forest, Super Mario. And the list goes on and on. I played a shit ton of those.
Yeah, you did.
And I got really good at them.
Nice.
You know, even through Metroid and stuff like that. I mean, I got you know, pretty efficient with a lot of the maneuvering and button mashing that I have to do. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was adventure games. Just
in general,
like,
just
classic, you know, not the most mechanic heavy. I actually beat a dozen of those this year. I'll list them. There's probably a few more that I played, but Inside.
Yeah.
Oxenfree.
Mm.
Really enjoyed Oxenfree. Not as strong as I thought other people were making it out to be, personally.
Right.
People, you know, absolutely think this game is the second coming. Some people do. I thought it was okay. Abzu. Freaking loved Abzu. Gone Home, Virginia, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, Tales of the Borderlands, Life is Strange, Telltale Walking Dead Season 1 and 2, Numa, and Firewatch.
Yeah, so you did beat a handful of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of classic adventure games. And yeah, I think it was just a fun kind of look back and say, what did I beat the most of? And it was definitely adventure games.
Yeah, I was actually digging through my list here and to see so many of those action platformers that I was talking about. Like, even more than, like, I beat Donkey Kong Country this year.
Yeah. Nice.
Freaking, you know, Metroid, of course, Ice Climber. Mm-hmm. Blackthorn is technically one.
Yep, definitely.
That Zelda 2 Adventures of Link is technically one.
I thought about bringing that up last time,
I said Shatterhand. Would you consider Thomas's Alone to be an action platformer?
It's more of a puzzle platformer.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, maybe even more just a puzzle game. But
True. Wizards and Warriors, Contra. There's so many, man. I was actually surprised looking back even more than I originally thought. But yeah, it's been a hell of a year. Castlevania, the Dracula X Chronicles.
Nice.
A shit ton of those.
Yeah, you did.
Man.
It's awesome.
Man.
Because I almost thought it would be, like, in terms of what you liked the most this year would be the RPGs, like the SNES RPGs.
It just takes long. You can't beat a high volume of them.
Right. I wasn't necessarily saying you beat the most, but just that you enjoyed the most.
Yeah, well, really Soul Blazer. And I did put a lot of time into Illusion of Gaia and Secret of Evermore.
Mm-hmm.
Soul Blazer is really the only one out of that.
Really stuck with you.
Yeah, that I love the most.
Cool.
But
you haven't gotten to Chrono Trigger yet, though.
No, I don't own it yet, but I plan to
get that.
I plan to. I've emulated it and played a good bit of it, and I do love it.
Yeah, okay.
It is fun.
Okay.
Nice, man.
Cool, yeah.
Anything else you got on that topic?
No, not really. Not really. We can move on to the resolutions.
Resolutions. So let's revisit 2016.
Yeah, let's see how we did.
So we rehashed this over and over for the first few episodes of the year.
We just completely forgot.
Yeah, well, we kind of moved on because we realized that, you know, we weren't really making any progress, so maybe don't bring it up.
Yeah.
I got to say, here in the last couple weeks, I tried. I tried a number of games on secondary platforms.
You're kind of like the fighter before the fight, cutting weight. You're like in the sauna, not eating. just to make that weight by the end of the...
Kind of, yeah. I was like, you know, this was a resolution of mine, and there's no reason that I haven't done this.
Yeah.
And actually, I tried the Jaguar I listed as one of the secondary platforms. I just don't have any games on there that I want to play right now. And honestly, looking back, there's not a ton of good games for the platform. It's just kind of one of those novel things I own.
Right.
Same with the 3DO.
Mm.
But for the Saturn, I actually bought a game I really wanted to play and beat, and that was Dark Savior, and I played a couple hours of it, and that was when I found that my save battery, my Saturn, didn't work. And I've tried it again, and I just haven't had the motivation, just because, goddamn, I lost that time.
Right.
So that was an opportunity that just got squandered. And then the Dreamcast, I just started on it with Sonic Adventure. Yep. So I put effort into it, but I got to say, I didn't complete that resolution. Yeah. I completely failed. I did get into Smash Bros. For Wii U. I played it a bit. So that one, you could put a check beside that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I did play a fair bit of that, and I actually really enjoyed it. I'm just shit at it.
I don't know if you're shit at it. It's just people are so damn good at that game.
I played the computer and got beaten.
So okay. Never mind.
I mean, I got the hang of it a little bit,
yeah.
But it's so... It's to the point now, I think, that you're either a Smash player or you're not, and the game has kind of evolved that, too.
Yeah.
So the game is a little difficult.
It's its own entity, kind of.
The number of characters and with those amiibos, it is fun. There's no
awesome.
Denying it.
Awesome.
And then beat Final Fantasy VII. I didn't do that.
Yeah, didn't do that. Don't did you even try?
I gave it a try a time or two.
Yeah, that's fair.
And didn't.
That's fair. My resolutions were to beat more games.
Well, you did that.
I think it definitely did that. I don't have a number because I was shit at tracking it. But I do think I beat more games.
You should track it.
It's fun. I know. Buy fewer games. This one I think I probably failed on.
Well, I would say that you maximized your value because you did rely on sales more.
I was definitely more frugal.
Yeah.
Which I guess is part of that,
mm-hmm.
You know, not spend as much money. The other part is to not keep my backlog just stacking up. That's the other part. But I think I don't think I went backwards on this, I think I remained static.
Sure.
I think it's probably what we'll say.
Fair enough.
Play and beat more Hallmark titles. I think to an extent I did that.
A little subjective. It depends on what you call Hallmark. I would call the Gear series Hallmark titles.
Gears, I would call the Metroid. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I accomplished that.
Yeah, me, you made some steps in that direction.
Yeah, so 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 66%. I'll take
sure.
it. I'll take it.
So for 2017.
Yeah.
The whole new slate.
It's a whole new world.
Some of the ones that I didn't meet, I carried over.
A whole new fantastic point of view.
It was beautiful.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
For me, yeah. I had a few that, you know, as a guy that likes the retro stuff, mm-hmm. there's a few notches I still need on my belt.
Sure.
One of those is to beat a space shmup. And that was hot genre back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had your R-types, you had your Gradius 3, mm-hmm. Darius Twin, Darius, all those. Beat one.
Yeah.
Just
knock one off.
You gotta, you have to put time into it. You gotta learn. I mean, it's the same thing every time you play. You just gotta learn where those enemies are coming right. from. Keep your power ups.
Make sure your reflexes are on point.
Yeah.
It's very much a Twitch style game.
And I've actually put a little time into some. I haven't mentioned them yet, but I played some Darius Twin for the SNES. People say that might be the easiest shmup, and I was like, maybe this is a good way to get me into it, build a little confidence.
Not so.
Well, I made it to the last level and got killed, so I'm...
Well, that's not bad.
I'm there, yeah. And then I played Blazing Lasers for TurboGrafx and it froze. So I'm getting further, and I really do enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy the series, but or the genre in general. But they're hard. There's two different ones, too. There's, like, strategic, power-up, memorization, and then there's, like, the bullet hell survival.
Yeah.
Those are tough. Like Ikaruga and things like that, where it's just completely dodge. It doesn't matter what you kill.
Just dodge.
Just dodge. Yeah. So,
which is, interestingly enough, what I think Cuphead is going to be. Is
you think so?
Game. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. What about you? What's one of your 2017 resolutions?
I beat a large RPG. I've got three on the table.
Yeah.
The Witcher Wild Hunt.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. But I got a year and get through it.
Yeah.
Beat Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Or beat Skyrim. Like,
have I talked you out of Fallout 4 a little bit?
No.
Okay.
No, I still want to complete it.
Sure.
Because I'm sure there's more than one way to go with it.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and maybe if you don't do it, I didn't break it up so much.
Yeah.
Like when I came back to it, I didn't care.
Right.
But maybe if you get toward the end and you stick with it, it will.
My plan is to just go level the hell up and then just power through the ending. Because I barely touched, you know, I'm like 50 hours into the game and I barely touched the main story.
Same. Yeah. I was trying to save it.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, if you were to run through the main story from the beginning, it wouldn't take you very long. It's not long at all.
Okay.
It's kind of annoying. It's not long.
Hmm. Okay. But that's one of my my resolutions is to get into and beat one of those RPGs.
And you also have Skyrim there too. That's another one that you
still never beat it. Spent hundreds of hours in the game, but
well, you got that remastered, that fresh coat of paint a dish.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, man.
All the mods.
For me, there's two games that should define me as a person, but don't because I've not beaten them. Because I'm a huge Zelda fan, mainly that revolves around the original. Huge original fan.
Okay.
But I've actually not beaten, I've put some time into both, but I've not beaten either Ocarina of Time or A Link to the Past.
Mm.
But again, I put some time into both, so I'm not a complete novice.
Right.
Just not finished them. This is the year I should either do one or both.
Yeah. How far in did you get to?
On Ocarina of Time?
Yeah.
I remember the Gorons. Okay. I really don't know how far.
Okay.
A few hours. Maybe 6 or 7 hours. I know it's long. I know it's much longer than that. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I played enough to kind of get the hang and the feel of it. I definitely didn't like do the fork in time or anything like that. Okay. I didn't get that far. And Link to the Past, I actually got all the way into the Dark World, and I don't know what happened. I just quit.
It's got dark.
Yeah.
Quit. You're like, nah. Just
gave up.
Yeah, you should definitely play those.
Yeah. And of course, just play more RPGs in general. You know, there's so many.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah, and there's a lot that, you know, RPGs, if you know, thinking back, they tend to define the console mm-hmm. that they're from.
Yep.
Like when you think of the SNES, you think of, you know, you think of Chrono Trigger and lot of those games, Final Fantasies, and you know, a lot of those. You don't think of, maybe you might think of Donkey Kong Country and the Super Mario Worlds,
right.
But for the most part, those RPGs are what really sets it apart, which is interesting because it's not like RPGs are that different between the SNES and the PS1 other than a little bit of graphics.
Yeah.
But story-wise, I guess people really appreciate them.
It is interesting to think about it. I mean, you know, game systems mean different things to different people.
Sure.
Whatever their taste may be or what the availability was. But if you look at usually the highest rated games or the most valued games or the most revered games on a platform, they're usually an RPG.
Yeah, like, true.
Look at any top 10, top 50, whatever list per system. It's probably going to be an RPG at the top.
Yeah, that's true. So. Except for the Atari.
Yeah, that can't be helped. That can't be helped. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so what's another one of your 2017?
Another one for me is to beat some more retro games.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting some old school stuff.
I'll probably help you with that.
Yeah, I got a guy. I know a guy who has a shit ton of old games.
Yeah, I got a few.
I just really enjoyed going through the Metroid games. And, you know, a lot of the games that I tend to play and I'm attracted to are usually these either just open-ended or these mammoth things. Or you know, 20 hours, 30 hours, and don't, you never get the payoff because you know.
Right.
You spend X number of hours in there per week, and then the payoff is protracted over a month, two months to beat a game. Where a retro game, if you know what you're doing, you can hop in and beat one in a night.
You can, so, yeah, absolutely.
So getting that, I guess, that catharsis of beating a game, I miss it.
So. I think that might be what attracts me to playing them so often.
Yeah,
is
that you get that quick high.
Yeah, I do a little bit of research beforehand to be like, is this fucking thing beatable?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't really care how long it takes, but, you know, is it Battletoads? Am I going to pull my hair out and eventually cry myself to sleep? Or is it something that, you know, people tend to beat, you know, with a little effort? And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially when you find one of those that you're like, man, this is actually really good. I never even heard of this.
Yeah, that's nice.
Hidden
gems.
I guess the third one for me is a carryover from last, is just continue to attempt those secondary platforms.
Okay.
Kind of maximize, you know, I have these things.
Yeah.
And I enjoy having them. I enjoy having the Sega CD. You know, it's a conversation piece. People come over and they're like, I never had one of these, and they want to play it. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I just don't. And I should. There's some decent games on, you know, 32X, the Sega CD, you know, and even if I don't end up beating a lot of games, just really taking a lot of the experiences that some of those forgotten consoles have, you know, whether it be the 3DO, the Dreamcast, the TurboGrafx, you know, really, you know, get into, you know, I got that the EverDrive for the TurboGrafx, which allowed me to, because TurboGrafx games are expensive, there's no way I'm going to collect those, no way. I just put them on the EverDrive and just play them. And most of the games that came out for the EverDrive or for the TurboGrafx-16 are Japanese only.
Mm.
And so when I'm, you know, downloading my ROMs and putting them on the card, I made sure to put a lot of those Japanese games on it. And some of them you can play without knowing Japanese. They're just, you know, fun little experiences. But there's so many, you know, interesting things that we never saw in games.
Yeah.
And so
no
just
doubt.
Playing a lot of that stuff is a lot of fun. So I want to get into more of that, and maybe even do some Famicom, Super Famicom stuff coming up this year. And because I, you know, there's a lot of review channels I watch that talk about, you know, this game never came to the U.S. It's only on the Super Famicom. I'm like, that looks titties. Where do I get it?
I want to play that.
I want to play it. So, you know,
nice.
I may be to the point now with my collection, my retro gaming, that, you know, I'm kind of looking outside the box now for some experiences. So that's fun. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to trying some of that stuff.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Another one for me is to track better. Like, just start, from now, first day of the year, start tracking what I'm playing, what I've added, and just start, you know, being more cognizant of what I am. That way, you know, this time next year, I can be like, I beat X number of games and, you know, et cetera.
It's fun for me, especially. And I know that I come off as like super anal and stuff like that about games and numbers and stats and all that stuff. But I really do, like, the very first fucking thing I do after I beat a game and the credits roll, get my phone out and take a picture of whatever screen pops up at the end, whether it just be it says staff and it's like the credits are starting to roll. Yeah. There's like nothing else on screen. I'm like, fucking, you only get that when you beat it. Like, that's,
yeah.
Put that on Instagram, do something. And it's actually interesting. I can look back through Instagram and be like, oh yeah, I remember fucking beating that. It's like kind of glued, and it's stupid. It's stupid as fuck, but it's fun.
No, it's not stupid.
And then going on to how long to beat.
Yeah.
Saying
check mark,
boom, beat it, take it off the backlog, put it on the completed. I do a lot of other things too. Like, I'll go on to GameFAQ, which I have an account, and they track all of, you know, who, you know, do you have the game? What do you rank the difficulty? Because I use that as a metric of what games, you know, are to play or are too tough or beatable.
Okay.
And so I contribute back to that, and I go ahead and say, okay, it was about right in difficulty, I give it a this. And also, I have a spreadsheet on Google.
Of course you do.
On Google Sheets of games that I own and games that I've beaten, kind of keep track of, like, what do I have in my library that I've knocked out and stuff like that, and where do I rank the difficulty. That stuff is almost as fun to me as actually beating the game.
Yeah.
Just going through and gloating in the aftermath of being like, look what I fucking did.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being a kid, and like, you get a star on the board in school. And
that's all you need, man.
It's fucking
might
awesome.
Might as well be a chip on your shoulder.
It really is. Yeah, it's really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
So, I mean, I think whatever you do to track it, I think you'll find it to be really fun.
Yeah. I don't know that I'll use how long to beat, just because, I don't know, part of me just does not like the way that is set up a little bit.
It's a little clunky at times. And if not real mobile friendly.
Yeah. So I'll probably honestly just build a spreadsheet.
Spreadsheets are fun.
And I'll just go at it like that, because I like spreadsheets.
Yeah. Or you can build up a spreadsheet and then maybe enter them into how long to beat at once or something like that.
Yeah. But just like once a month, just go in and update it or something. I don't know.
I've been at how long to beat so long, and it does have a lot of options for like sorting and rating and time.
I mean,
those
things are nice, but.
And it's really cool. But yeah.
You got any more?
No, I think that's it for me. I
have one more.
I set the bar low because I didn't do shit last year.
I'm setting the bar really high with this one.
Oh boy.
I'm excited to get it out.
Let's do it.
And we're going to see how it goes.
You teased this yesterday,
I did.
I've been excited ever since.
I did. My goal is to not buy a game for 6 months.
What?
Yeah.
Just beat the games you got.
Yeah. That's my goal, because I keep looking at now.
I want to make sure we hit. Did we hit record?
6 months. Yeah, it's recording.
Okay, it's good.
Now there's a couple of caveats to this for myself. One is, if I've already pre-ordered the game, which there's a couple that are out there that I've pre-ordered.
Don't count.
And any game that comes in free with like Games with Gold or PS Plus,
not buying
anything. Not buying it.
But you're trying to restrict the amount of games that you intake to beat the games you got.
Because I keep looking, like, you know, last couple of weeks there's been tons of sales on every platform. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, and I have the money, I could buy a game. And I just look there and don't want it, because here I can wait. And I'm just like, I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't want any more games right now.
Right.
And, you know, the forecast for next year, some cool stuff coming out.
Sure.
But my life's gonna be hectic.
No more hectic any other year, or
maybe a little more.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna school spring, summer, fall.
And work's picking up weird.
Yeah. Okay. So like, it's gonna be a little more hectic. So and, you know, part of it's a money saving effort. Part of it's I just don't want my backlog to keep growing. And the other thing is, I have a shit ton of games I just really want to play.
Already.
You know, they're just like, I have 5 games still in the plastic.
That's crazy.
So there's,
you've not even played.
Yeah.
What was it? The game I've been waiting to
Quantum
hear
Break.
About. Quantum Break.
It's still in the plastic.
Yeah, man.
You know, I still got Quantum Break, Assassin's Creed, the newest one that came out at the end of last year. I can't remember the subtitle. Syndicate. Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Okay, yeah.
I've got Rainbow Six Siege, The Division, and Batman Arkham Knight, also in the plastic. And not to mention, I'm getting games every month with EA Access.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's stuff for me to play.
Yeah, there is. So does that mean you're going to cancel your EA Access?
No, I'm going to leave that. That's, to me, it's a subscription. I'm not buying the game.
Right, to me,
it's along the lines of like a, you know, sure. Games with Cold, whatever. And I doubt I'll even play much of those. You know, Battlefront just got added to Star Wars Battlefront, so I might play that some.
Sure.
But, you know, that's my goal, is to not buy any games until June.
Okay. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see how that goes.
Now, did you look at the games that are supposed to come out before June, to before you made that decision?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I can't think of any that are real big.
Yeah. The only thing that I've got, it's huge, but already pre-ordered between now and then, that I know of, is Persona 5.
Sure. Okay.
But that's April release. And like I said, it's already pre-ordered. So
that don't count. Okay.
Don't count.
So that'd be tough for me, because I'm really thinking hard about this Nintendo Switch. And yeah. I don't know that I could. I mean, I'm one to wait.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. I have no plans to get one of those for a while.
But I think of all of my friends, I might be the only one that would get one. Probably. So it kind of means I got to get one. Like, if you or Brian were going to get it, I wouldn't get it.
My sister's probably going to get one.
I can hang out with your sister more.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that settles that then.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, man. Well, good luck with that.
I think I can do it.
Are we going to hold you to it episode to episode?
Yeah, that's fine. We can check in episodically.
Cool. That is exciting. It's weird that it's exciting for you to get no games, but yeah. It's a challenge.
Yeah, and I think it's part of the reason I'm doing it. It's just like, this is a big-ass challenge. So
yeah. See, I couldn't do it. I take in, a lot of games.
Yeah.
Via the collection standpoint.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's different for you. You intentionally collect and you're building towards something. Me, it's just like, oh, I want that.
But I'm also, you know, like you are with digital games, I'm intentionally very frugal.
Yeah.
I make it a point not to spend what people want on the games. Not to be a dick or to over haggle or anything, but right. Just, you know, I have a boundary, and if it's not met, I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure I'll find it. So yeah, that's interesting, man. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you in a way. I still hope you can have fun like that, but I'm sure you can. You got a lot of games.
Oh yeah, I got a shit ton of games, and I got Stardew Valley, and that'll keep me busy for a very long time.
Yeah, actually, you know, collecting the old games, I don't buy many new games.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
And it's worked out. By again, I don't play many of them.
Right.
Just caveat of that. But there's not a ton of newish games that I'm just really intrigued by. Like, I played Gears only because it was a Gears title.
Sure.
You know, other than that, I haven't really played, you know, the Batman Telltale. Because I make some exceptions, but you know, for the most part, I'm not in there dabbling with new and shiny stuff just because. So, it's interesting. All right. Was that pretty much it?
Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, it's been a doozy.
It has been a doozy. Man. Is there a game that you beat this year that you didn't bring up at all? Like, what's your most forgotten game?
Oh, probably.
That could be a superlative. Most forgettable game. The game you played, you didn't even fucking give a superlative to. It wasn't even great. It wasn't bad. It wasn't long. It wasn't short. Other Dr. Seuss descriptors.
Let me think back. Let me think back.
There's so many for me. 65 games. I didn't talk about 65 games.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I'll look through here and see if there's a game I completely forgot that I had played. Eco. I played that this year.
Okay.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Forgettable.
Hit right around average everywhere.
Yeah. At the time, it was landmark. Just now.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Beyond Oasis. Another one. It was kind of like... It's pretty solid.
Nice.
Just kind of nod after you beat it.
She's like, cool. All right. I'm trying to think of anything. Let me check back early in the year. Let's see if I just look at it like, oh, crap, I beat that.
Star Fox 64. And there went that one.
Yeah, that game is not difficult.
Kirby 64. Yep, that happened. Ape Escape.
Ape Escape.
It was fun.
I liked Ape Escape.
It was kind of a pleasant surprise. I could have put it up there with Goemon as games that I was like, huh, this shit, is this is fun. This does kind of hold up, minus the weird camera shit.
I got one for you.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Nightmares from the Deep, The Cursed Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, I had fun with it.
Yeah.
But
it was kind of forgettable.
Yeah. Let's go.
Interesting. All right, man. Was that pretty much do it then?
Yeah, I think so.
That was episode 31.
That was episode 31.
I guess you could call it the last episode of 2016, because that's all we talked about.
But right.
Technically, right. The first episode of 2017.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next time on episode 32.
Polykill. We'll probably talk a little bit about 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a little bit at the end here with the resolutions and stuff.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us. However you took us, whether it be on audio only, you can...
Or with cream, without cream.
With or without cream. We're on the iTunes, we're on Podcast FM, we're on Stitcher, we're on all kinds of stuff.
We're out there.
And if we're not where you want us, tell us. We'll put it there.
Yeah, we will.
We're on YouTube, obviously, if you're watching this. If you're not watching it, we're on YouTube.
Correct.
You can find all of our stuff on polykill.com. Mm. We're on Twitter and Instagram at polykill.
We're not on Instagram at polykill.
We're not. We're on Twitter and Instagram individually. I am at Trav Plays Games.
I am at the McAxel.
And together on Twitter, we're at polykill. And if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on Twitter or email us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. I think that wraps it up. Next time I'll come back, I'll talk all about MacFest.
Yeah, you will.
That'll be fun.
Nice.
All right, see you next time.
Peace.